On this feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, we have this gospel which speaks of the role of Mary in salvation history. Cana is a little town, Kir Bet Cana. It's about 9 miles north of Galilee. So Our Lady had friends, maybe relatives there. And she was invited to this wedding. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. Like Our Lady is really invited, and they're sort of, well, you know, Jesus is her son, and so. And so they're at this wedding. A wedding, of course, in that part of the world, doesn't go on for an hour. And then a 3-hour reception goes on for days. The ceremony itself is that the bridegroom goes over to the bride's house and then conducts her back over to his house. And because all the other arrangements have been made before this. And then there's a big party. And it goes on for 3, 4, 5 more days. Now, all of these people are poor, but and the cultural atmosphere is such, honor and shame are very important. So that this poor family, if they were to run out of wine, would have been a terrible embarrassment. Not just that there was no more wine for the party, but that they couldn't take care of their guests would have been, in this culture, a terrible thing. And so Our Lady noticed that the wine was running out. And she said, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, now this translation, I'm going to find several problems with this translation this morning, if it's all right. But literally says, what is that to you and to me? And so it's not just how does your concern affect me, it's what significance does this have? What is this to you and to me? You know, what? How does this affect us and our relationship? What is there? It's that sort of a notion. Then the next line has been translated long, long time. My hour has not yet come. And yet, actually, it was one of my professors who pointed out that there's a minority view in the patristic time, and philologically, this text should be translated, has not my hour come, which has been very significant. You see, in other words, my hour has come. And so what is this? My hour has come. Our Lady, reading his heart, goes and says to words that are redolent of the whole giving of the law. She says, whatever he says, tells you to do, do. 3 times in the giving of the law, the Jewish people said, whatever the Lord has said, we will do. So for those who are familiar with all the background, we're here at a scene, and I don't have time to go into it all now, but see, it's on the 3rd day that this was happening. 3rd day from what? Well, this is the 3rd day, that phrase, and on the 3rd day I will come, 3 times in Exodus 19 and 20, for preparing for the giving of the law. And on that 3rd day, there was this wedding. And in the tradition, the Lord led Israel out into the desert in order to propose a marriage to her. And so, you see, we're moving on several levels here. John is trying to tell us, John the mystic is trying to show us what is the significance of this and why is the Lord doing it. Of course, the basic significance. He's at a wedding. He's consecrating the whole beauty of marriage. But he's also announcing the beginning of a new Torah. And so Our Lady, by the way, he calls her woman. Nowhere in this culture do we have any evidence at all that any son would call his mother woman. He calls Mary Magdalene woman, he calls the Samaritan woman woman, but he would never call his own mother woman. He's saying, and no, she shall be called woman because from man she was taken. He's saying, don't you understand, you are Eve and I am Adam. And we are beginning a new race. We are beginning to redo humanity. And that's what's going on. She turns around and in her first act of discipleship says to the waiters, whatever he tells you to do, do. All that the Lord has said, we will do. Then he transforms this water into wine, saves these poor guests, these poor hosts, the embarrassment, allows the party to go on. There's a lot of wine, you know, about 30 gallons times 6, 180 gallons of wine. He was generous, you know. And then, you see, by the way, you notice the bridegroom, except for this one line, never appears. Jesus is the bridegroom in this story. And he's, you know, proposing marriage to the whole human race. So anyway, the head waiter calls him over and says, everyone serves good wine first, but you have kept the good wine until now. Now is going to begin the new covenant. See, this is the good wine, now. And this is the very first, the beginning of his signs. Now is something new beginning. Now, we're lucky because we have all sorts of documents, even the fathers of the church didn't have, to get an idea of the background of all of this, understand all John's allusions. But you know, the mystics got it anyway. You know, St. Augustine says about this text, this is the Lord announcing the new covenant. How did he do that? You know, mystical sympathy, understanding of the reality of this event. Okay? But there's more, then I'll stop. St. Thomas also does a wonderful job on this text. But he has something. Now remember, the commentaries of Aquinas are class notes from his lectures, which he looked over, checked over, especially John. So this is how he taught it in his class. He said, mystically understood, if you will, or spiritual sense of this text is, commenting on the line, and the mother of Jesus was there. He said, the mother of Jesus is present at every spiritual marriage. Whenever the soul is joined mystically to Christ forever, the mother of Jesus is the matchmaker. Conciliatrix, he calls her. What an understanding. I know I'm taking a little time, but we're not going to go far today anyway. Because I'm trying to, the depth of these events. This is an event of God-man. It has an infinite depth. And it takes prayer and time and pondering. And it's the text that the Lord, the church chooses today on this feast of the Immaculate Conception, who said, bring them here, I'll heal them. And so we're understanding this role of Mary as the one who's the always present, especially when there is this spiritual marriage between the soul and Jesus.